Yo, what up, everybody? Welcome back to another segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I just want each and every one of you guys to know I'm so grateful for the feedback I got on the last podcast, you guys. We are back on track, back on schedule. I know we still have the holidays coming up, but I will do my best to stay on point. I promise you guys. Thank you for the comments. Oh, and thank you guys. I do see it. Even though I do not have an Apple, I do see it. Everybody who is showing me love on the Apple Podcast, on iTunes, everybody favoriting me, everybody on Spotify listening to me, subscribing. Yo, I thank you guys so much for all the love and all the support that you're giving me. It is phenomenal, man. I'm so just grateful and I'm so excited to watch this thing grow and flourish, man. And like I said before, if you know anybody, man, who is looking to grow spiritually, any guidance or trying to get somewhere in life, and you think that any subject matter I have can help them, make sure you share this with them, y'all. Make sure you share it with them and just really offer them the same opportunity that you're having as well. So, man, today I had a great day. I had my day off. I got to chill, get some work done. I'm on my phone and really have some great conversations. And I had a conversation today that it actually had me thinking, man, about anxiety, right? And that's such a big thing for like a lot of people is anxiety. Cause I'm gonna be honest, when it comes to a lot of things going on in my life, I am not that like really anxious person. I'm usually on point. I'm straight. I remember I was talking to my wife the other day because I went to Busch Gardens, and for those who don't know, it's a theme park out here in Tampa, and I was on Falcon's Fury, and you can look up the ride, you know what kind of ride it is. It goes straight up, and it was I got on the ride, right. I got all the way to the top. And when it drops, it tilts you forward to where you're facing the ground, and then it drops you, right? And I was telling my wife, I said, you know, it's crazy to me that, you know, because I'm not scared of rides or anything. So I'll pretty much get on any ride. But my heart rate didn't even raise, like, not even a little bit. It was like I was just flowing with it. And it's amazing to me that we're able to do that, but with things in our life, we're not. And I know I'm not the only one who's ever felt anxiety about something, but like we get in these things where we feel anxiety and it gets pulled. But I want to ask you the question, does God, like, think about it. Does God have an answer for your anxiety? And because I know a lot of people who actually take medications, which I think honestly, sometimes it may be too much. I don't think I really agree with that in a lot of cases. And it makes me ask, like, do we have to be medicated to cope, or is there a biblical solution for the anxieties of the soul? Like, because the God of the Bible cares for hurting people. And this is seen in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it was shown in the person of Jesus, which is basically mankind meets the God of all mercy face to face. So this is what we're going to talk about today, guys. We're going to talk about anxiety, ways we can deal with it and cope, and really just go through and see, like, is there really a biblical solution for the anxieties and the things that we deal with in our life? So you guys, do not go anywhere. We will be right back. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back, y'all, in the House of J. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. So we are back, y'all, and we are about to talk about anxious motivated behavior. We're going to talk about anxiety in the fullest and really dealing with it, y'all. So it was brought to my attention. Like I said, when I got on the ride Falcon's Fury, let me finish the story behind it about why it compelled me to bring it up to my wife, because I get on rides all the time. I'm a big roller coaster fan, right? So I can get on every roller coaster. It doesn't matter. Nothing I am too scared or shied away from. I like to get on the rides, right? But even though I get on the rides, I've been on like Dr. Doom and Universal Studios. I've been on, I've been on so many rides, the Hulk, Dueling Dragons before it turned to the Harry Potter ride. I've been on some stuff in Six Flags. I can't remember all the names, man. But even though I would get on the rides, there would always be this feeling of anxiety. And I would always feel it. Even though I'd be okay with the ride, I would always feel it when my heart would get, you know, up and up and up. But I went on this ride where I think it's like 100 feet in the air, 120, 100 something. I don't know. It's tall. It's a tall ride. I'm going to just say that. It's a tall ride. And I got up there and I was like, man, it's pretty tall. And when it dropped, my heart rate didn't go up. And the first thing it made me think of, I was like, man, like we can really be like this with God if we focus. Because I was focusing on, when I was up there, I was focusing on like, okay, this is gonna happen. I'm gonna go up, I'm gonna drop, I'm going. So I had faith, right? In the fact that even though I was going up that high and dropping, that I was gonna be okay in all that happened. And that's how we have to be with God. Think about it, because anxiety hurts, all right? And to be honest, if you're listening or you know, you decided to stay, I'm pretty sure that you have probably experienced it or are experiencing it, either, you know, in your own life or in the life of somebody that you care about. So that poses the question, what did I say earlier? Like, does God have an answer for your anxiety? Right? And I'm going to answer. God does have an answer for anxiety. And the answer to that is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 11. And first, we must think about like what anxiety is. Because in 1 Peter, Peter speaks about casting your anxieties on him. But what is it that he's talking about? And what is it that we are to cast on the Lord? Right? And the word Peter chooses in his letter when he speaks about anxiety can be defined as basically a feeling of apprehension or distress in view of possible danger or misfortune or anxiety, worry, or anxious concern. So Jesus uses this word in the parable of the sower when he describes the word of God being choked out by the cares of the world. Jesus warned about people being unprepared for his return because of the cares of the world. And Paul describes the daily pressure that he felt during his care for all the churches. So Peter is writing about a soul that's full of cares and a heart that is troubled. Let's consider like some like anxiety, some of like anxiety's expressions. Like, think about it, like, do you worry? Because worry is one expression of anxiety. Or like, what about like a general sense of unrest? Like, as someone like might put it, you just are not happy. And what if we use the word discouragement? What about the word depression or fear in our life? And listen, in Psalms 42, we're given a great biblical description of anxiety. And we're introduced to a man who is troubled by enemies and those who would mock him for his faith. And as a result, his heart is depressed. But he also describes the feeling as turmoil. He talks about a feeling as if God has forgotten him. And what is this? This is anxiety. So the place to begin when looking for God's answer to your anxious heart is the place of admitting your need. We can't embrace God's solutions for problems that we don't believe we have. And it is when we're honest with our problems and our struggles, our weaknesses, and our sins that we are genuinely ready to listen to God. So we have to let our hearts be filled with hope, and we have to open our heart to the answer that Christ offers for the troubles that we do have in our soul. And listen, so the answer for anxiety is like, it basically, is there a biblical answer like for my struggle, and an answer in Jesus Christ for our anxious heart? And the answer is yes, and it is simple and straightforward. The answer comes to us from Scripture with the authority of God, and it can be captured with one word found in 1 Peter 5, and that word is humility. Peter speaks of casting all your anxieties as the expression of his call to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. But how do you humble yourself under God's mighty hand? And he answers it right here. By casting all my cares upon God, which is a decision. It's an action that demonstrates obedience to God's call for my humility. So that means basically that the answer for my anxious heart is humility. Or we can turn it around and ask, why do we have anxious hearts in the first place? And the painful answer is going to be because of pride. So if I were to ask you, do you struggle with anxiety or with worry or with discouragement? You may very well admit that you do. But if I were to ask you whether you think that the root of your problem is pride, Would that have been the first thing that came to your mind? Probably not. And people who are dealing with discouragement or depression or despair seldom feel proud. And in fact, they feel that they themselves they think of themselves in a lowly way. And honestly, like psychologists would probably say that they struggle with a poor sense of self-worth. So the human diagnosis of such a problem is not pride, but rather that the person doesn't think more highly of himself. But the one we meet with in chapter 5 of 1 Peter is the great physician of the soul, and he is the only one who accurately knows the heart of man. The Almighty God, who has breathed the Bible, tells us that the answer for the anxious heart is to humble oneself, and that you humble yourself by casting your cares upon him. So, as much as it may surprise us, the one who knows our heart tells us that the problem of our anxious soul is pride. And how can that be? Like, we'll consider that in moving forward where I'll go through it. And so basically when the anxious heart, right, cries out to God and begs for an answer, its pain is often intense and its energy exhausted. It is painful to hope and to be disappointed. But when the hope is found in God's word, then it can be sure. Let me tell you, it can be sure, even if at first it seems like it's unlikely. So we're gonna talk about because you may or may not know, but I'm going to talk about the surprising source of anxiety, right? Now, if you're a child of God, what has the Lord told you about whatever is going on in your life right now? Like, what has he told you about his attitude concerning you? And does the Lord love you? Is he sovereign? Is there anything going on in this world that God does not know and care about? If we walk through your life logically and biblically, like for a moment, I'm saying that like God absolutely understands your current situation. Like if you agree with that or not, right? So is there anything in the world that God is powerless toward? Like, God's word gives us a clear answer to this question and telling us that your God not only knows your situation perfectly, but he is absolutely on his throne right now and he is absolutely in control. So if you agree that he knows all and that he has all power, that still would not necessarily make you safe. Not unless he really does love you and cares about you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 30, he tells us that God is always at work causing all things to work together for good to those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, is that true? Of course, it is. It is gloriously true. But let me tell you what that means, because when we are afraid of worrying or downtrodden, we're actually showing unbelief about these realities. We are saying, I don't believe you. And when I worry, either I believe he doesn't know about my troubles of my heart, or I believe that he has no control over what troubles my heart in the first place, or I believe he doesn't really care about me. And in fact, whether we recognize it or not, our anxious hearts say to God, I trust me with me more than I trust you with me. And I trust me to take care of me more than I trust you to take care of me. So I want you to let that sink in. If someone stood up at your next church meeting, right, or whatever, you know, groups you go to, and said, I am better equipped to take care of myself than God, would that be prideful? So when we are filled with worry, what we are dealing with is a pride problem. Like, that is why the Holy Spirit tells us through Peter that when we cast our cares onto God, we are humbling ourselves. Until we stop thinking that he really doesn't know, or he really isn't in control, or really doesn't care, until our hearts change and we put away our pride and we are actually shutting ourselves off from God's help. The Bible tells us that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. The problem with the trouble-filled heart is pride. And the answer for that pride is repentance. So we have to have an answer for anxiety, right? Because answering anxiety, it requires a work, right? So if the answer to anxiety seems too simple, right? The application of that answer requires the hard work of sanctification. And listen, so when we are weighed down with an anxious heart, work is the last thing that we want. We desire rest and not work. So, but any other way of describing the path to this solution would be dishonest. So God is at work in his people as he transforms us into the image of his son. This work includes what goes on in our minds and hearts. So we can't simply acknowledge that our need is humility and that humility casts its cares on God. We must ask what that looks like and whether we are putting it into practice. Perhaps the Lord will show us areas in our lives where we were not aware of pride, and we may gain insight into why our hearts are so full of troubles. And the good news is, in the same place where we are pointed to the answer for anxiety, we are also given insight into what it means to humble ourselves before the Lord. One big way that believers often struggle with humility is in having a right relationship to authority. Peter speaks specifically to those who are younger, as elders in the church are usually older than most of the congregation. So young people often chafe at authority. That is why young men especially are encouraged to submit themselves to the elders. That is an expression of humility. Submission to human authority recognizes that in human authority, you meet with the mighty hand of God. The book of Romans tells us that existing authorities have been ordained by God. Do you believe that God is to be trusted when he tells us in his word, right, that he ordained human authority structures and that he is at work through them? Like, do you believe that even when we have unjust authorities over us, that we are still to be a submissive people so far as possible? So how many people's worries would go away if they really believed God was at work in their lives through the person who is over them right now in a position of authority? And similarly, multitudes of worries would go away in the lives of people in authority if they would say to themselves, Lord, you have ordained that I should lead this people, and I am responsible to honor you and to glorify you in the way that I lead them. And Lord, if I have done my best, that is all that I can do. So submission to authority is an expression of humility. And a proper view and a proper use of authority is an expression of humility as well. And so what does humility look like in action? Like, humility submits to God's providences. Right. And when people are suffering, they are often tempted to be filled with anxiety. Like the writer of Psalm 42, they are facing troubles and their hearts become cast down within them. The mighty hand of God is a sovereign hand, a powerful and ruling hand. And do you believe like that God is sovereign? Do you believe your current circumstances reflect God's plan, that God has you in the place where you are right now? And will you humble yourself right there, or will you try to take care of yourself? Fight in every direction to escape your present situation? Like, this is not to say that you can't try to improve your situation if the Lord allows it. But the real issue is not your circumstances. The issue is, will you trust the Lord? And are you going to despair if your circumstances don't change, or will you have joy? The real issue is the change of you. My wife was having an issue, right, with school. It wasn't even an issue. It was just a hurdle where her background wasn't clearing, right? And I was so proud of her. I'm gonna be honest. I was so proud of her, because normally my wife's reactions in the past have been to worry and have anxiety and say, I don't know how to figure this out. I don't know what to do. And my wife, even though her background wasn't clear, and even though DCF was behind, even though that the school may have been threatening her to take her out of the course and that she's taking in her school right now, she didn't budge. She actually sat and she said, I know God's going to work it out. And she didn't cry about it. She didn't mumble about it. She didn't groan. She didn't complain. All she did was let God and trust that he would do it. And let me tell you, on the very last day that they told her that it had to be cleared, as soon as the teacher checked, it was not cleared. And a few minutes later, she got an email saying that her background was cleared and that she can go back to school. And that she wouldn't, because if it would not have gotten cleared, she would have had to drop out of her course and she would have had to reapply and go back to school in April. But now she's back on track and she's able to graduate on time because she didn't let the devices of Satan and the situations or circumstances that came in her life make her stumble. And that's what it means to cast our cares upon God. And the same word translated casting is used in Luke 19 and 35. When Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem and the disciples had obtained a colt, they brought it to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on it. This is a transfer, just like throwing a blanket onto something. You gather up all the things that are troubling you right now. You bag them up and you throw them onto the Lord. This transfer is total. And Peter says to throw all, A-L-L, all. So how would this be humility? How is this the way that you humble yourself? Because if you don't give these worries to him, you are saying that you plan to keep them and deal with them yourself, because you believe that you can deal with them better than he can. And many of our hardships really work to wake us up from a dream where we imagine that we have control over our lives. So what is it you think that you control? If he didn't give you the ability to think and function, you couldn't have any of it. Just remember the great Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who celebrated all that he thought that he could accomplish in his kingdom. And in a moment, God reduced that man to a beast-like existence. When you cast these things on the Lord, you aren't truly giving him anything. You are simply acknowledging what he already says is in his control. So the answer to anxiety is being spiritually alert. There are several important ways that humility is expressed in the spiritual life of a believer. If you are humble, right, you are spiritually watchful. When you find yourself in a stressful situation where you are tempted to be afraid or anxious, this is a time where you are spiritually vulnerable. Satan takes advantage of people who are filled with fear and worry and anxiety. And Peter tells us to be alert, to be watchful, because there is an attack coming. And there's an invitation coming your way from the enemy. And it always sounds something like this, like, do not believe in God. Do not trust him. Take matters into your own hand. And the sinful approach to anxiety is to try to relieve your own fears, to alleviate pressures in your own way, which is contrary to the word of God. You resist temptation by standing firm in your trust towards God. And another important part of humility during anxious moments is recognizing and practicing your spiritual connection to other believers. When you are tempted to be afraid and to worry, you must stop and recognize that you are not alone. You are a part of the body of Christ. And Satan wants you to believe that your situation is a special case and that no one can understand you or has ever been where you are right now. Right in the middle of telling us to be firm in our faith, Peter tells us these same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your family and Christ throughout the world. It is a prideful thought to think that you are the only one who has been faced with what you're troubled with. You're not the first to walk through this. I'm telling you, believe me, you're not alone. And Satan is compared to a roaring lion who separates his prey from the pack so they will be weak and alone. Separate from brothers and sisters in Christ is a dangerous place to be. Paul's words to the Corinthian church, they remind us that when we fall prey to temptation, it is not because it was too strong for us, but rather because we were not relying on him. And we walked in pride, and this is why we fall. Often someone going through a difficult time says something like, I just don't feel like being at church today. Or I don't want to be around people or to answer questions. I just want to work through this on my own. And Proverbs 18:1 tells us that this is a foolish course of action. You have to remember that you are not alone and that you need the Lord's people in your life. And the answer to anxiety rejoices in God's plan. The Bible is clear that God's people deal with anxiety. The psalmist acknowledges that even when the Lord is your hope, the cares will still be many. Although Psalms and Proverbs, acknowledges that God's people know what it is to have cares in our hearts. It is the humility, right, that brings hope to the anxious heart. And this humility that brings relief from anxiety rests in God's gracious and good plans. So can you be confident that he will restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you? Like God is described by Peter as the God of all grace. Like, I don't deserve for the Lord to take care of me in such a way that at all times it is something good that is being worked out in the details of my life. And yet that is what he does. Because he is gracious and good, I can have his confidence. Whatever suffering I am going through is temporary. Even if it is for a lifetime, it is still a little while. So what awaits us is eternal glory in Christ, who will himself restore us, confirm us, strengthen us, and establish us. The Old Testament book of Job tells us of a man who lost everything. We know that the Lord was using his faithfulness to demonstrate that to Satan that Job's reverence for the Lord wasn't dependent on the things in his life that he had been given. We read about this purpose of God's in Job's life, but Job lived it. He didn't have the book of Job to tell him the things that we know by reading in scripture. Amazingly, due to God's work in his heart, he was able to say that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord, Job was able to say, I trust him. You humble yourself when you acknowledge God's sovereignty and rejoice in it. You must be willing to admit that he has the power and the right to do what he will do. Whether this looks like giving or taking away in your life, you must be willing to say this to him with the heart of praise. This is not fatalism or resignation, but praise. We have not humbled ourselves unto God's sovereignty. Is sweet to us. Like, do you rejoice in the knowledge that you are not in control, but he is? And will you humble yourself by taking all those things represented in the word anxieties and bag them up and cast them into him, knowing that he cares for you? Listen, there is nothing that God cannot do in your life as long as you believe in him and trust in him and trust that his word is true, that no matter what comes, as long as you cast it on him, that he can take care of it and he can take you wherever you want to go. And whatever situation and circumstance you deal with, it'll never be bigger than God. I thank you guys for listening. I pray that I was able to give somebody some type of revelation by sharing my truths with you. I pray that you guys continue to go forth and have faith in the one and true living God that continues to provide for us and show us that he loves us each and every day. For each and every person listening, please share this with somebody else so that it may bless them and help them. I pray that God will continue to have his hand on your life. Everybody showing me love on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, every platform that I've been posting on. I thank you guys for all the love and support. I hope you have a fantastic evening. Go home and enjoy your family, your friends, and all of your loved ones. And remember, humility is the way to go to get to God's grace and his love, to be able to enjoy the benefits of it, because God always opposes the proud, and any anxiety or anything we don't give him is driven from a prideful heart and a prideful motive. I love you guys. Have a fantastic evening. I'm out. Peace.